Hello. Thank you.
Well, we are like the Three Stooges back here.
No, there's more than three of you.
Oh, yeah. No, I said like.
Are we going to behave now so that Lisa can be liturgist?
That's okay. I'm just kind of enjoying all of this. So, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So good to see you all. We just have a few announcements. I'll go back to Sheila first, if you want to go ahead and.
Okay. As many of you know, we took our leftover clothes and shoes to the Baptist Church for their clothes closet. They are asking for help. I am going this Wednesday from 8:30 till about 11. They'll be there from 8:30 to 11:30. If anybody's willing to donate a few hours to help them sort, their clothes closet is this coming weekend. Also Wednesday at 6:30 here in the church, we are going to gather to make blessings bags. Those are bags that we put together for the homeless. I understand we have quite a few homeless here in Clinton and in Adrian. I inherited all this stuff from my home church. Their Emmaus group kind of fell apart, so we've got all the stuff that they've gathered over the years to make blessing bags. If you have or can get clean socks, hats, and gloves, we will add those to our blessing bags. 6:30 this Wednesday. Thank you.
I don't have anything that I want.
Phyllis, did you have something?
No.
No. Okay.
Microphone in case somebody else has.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to make an official plea. I need choir members. You know, if you want the choir to sing, I need to have some people to work with because, you know, we can't always be here every Sunday. You know, if you can sing the hymns, you know, I mean, if we just sing hymns every Sunday, that's fine with me. We don't have to necessarily sing fancy anthems. But if you want to sing, we need people. I especially need sopranos. I would love to have a tenor that's here on a regular basis, but I'll take whatever I can get. And if anyone's interested in bell choir, I'd like to meet, you know, maybe in the fellowship hall, because I'll probably be helping serve the worship, or the worship committee's doing the coffee hour, so I might be busy doing that. But I'd like to talk at least for a minute and find out what your interest is, how often you want to play this year, and so we can get that going. Thank you.
All righty. Just another reminder, the Out of the Darkness Ann Arbor Walk, this is a walk for suicide prevention. We are still taking donations. If you'd like to add, there's a red box as you leave the sanctuary today. Sheila and Robin are representing and going to be doing that walk for us, so that's a very important matter. I just actually heard on the news the other day that 2022 was the worst year in history for suicide. So this is very serious, and we do need to do what we can do to help get this under control. Phyllis, are you still looking for paper bags? Yes. So if you can bring in any of your good used paper bags, give them to Phyllis for the food pantry. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Nope. All right. We will be.
We have somebody.
Oh, we do.
I thought I was done. The vendor show is this
Saturday.
Oh, that's
right.
Please
yes.
come
yes.
and shop.
Yes, sorry,
we
I missed
that.
We have
about 11 different vendors, probably about 15 different products being sold.
And that's from 9 till 3?
Yes.
Yeah, so come on out, get some Christmas shopping done. You never know what you're going to find. All right, if you will please stand and join me in the call to worship. Jesus, be near to help us now. Just work it so we can know you. Love you, and rejoice in you while we worship. We know we will be far from perfect. However, help us do each of them a little bit better. So this morning, as you are here close to us, we can come closer to you. Our first hymn is found on page 57.
And we will not require you to be outrageously Methodist this morning. You only need to do four verses.
If you'll take a moment to greet one another with a smile, a hug, a handshake, whatever works for you.
It doesn't help to feel.
Let's hear it for Richard.
That's it. Whoa.
Thank you. Cast your bread upon the water.
That's it. Keep going.
Yeah. Still got more seats.
Keep it rolling. as we go to our time of prayer, we're going to talk more about grandparents during our time with the children. There's so much going on everywhere. Some of our folk are going through some really serious struggles. It's one of those places where so often what we do is we put the blame on God for what's happening, and it's just life. Life doesn't always go easily. We were talking in our time coffee with Mike this morning about the question, what are we going to do with the incarnation? How are we going to experience Jesus in our here and now? What are we going to do with that so that other people experience Jesus in their here and now? Okay. Amongst the things that's a reality is there are times when we can do something concrete. Okay. We have a person in our congregation who's happening to be going through a panic attack right now. It's not important who that person is. What's most important is as soon as one of the people in the congregation heard about it, the question was, what do you need? And the answer was, I need to not be alone. Okay. I'm going to gang up on the big people today. I'm going to ask you some questions about how you're with Jesus and how you pass that along, not to just anybody, but to the little people. We don't often talk about how important grandparents are, but you all are vital. Okay? Think about your own growing up, big people. Who did you listen to best? Your mom or your dad or your mama and your papa? As we go together in prayer, let's remember each other. Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all of the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. The world is not the most comfortable, peaceful place. Let us pray for comfort and peace, shall we? Blessed Jesus, the Holy Scripture tells us that you left the presence of God, the most intimate presence of God, to come here. You came here to bring the good news. The good news wasn't, hey, I'm here. The good news was and remains. You need to know Father God loves you. You need to know Father God wants you to come on home. Father God has sent me with the keys to his house. Father God doesn't want you to come back all by yourself. He wants you to bring somebody with you. And then once we all get there, Father God's going to throw an outrageous party. At that last meal that you served around that table so long ago, Jesus, you said as you passed the cup around, I'm not going to drink from this again until we drink it together in the kingdom of God. We need your kingdom so desperately. We need that place where nobody's sick, where nobody's hurt, where nobody's angry, where nobody is naked, nobody is hungry, nobody is poor, nobody is sick. We need your kingdom so desperately, and you are the only one who can bring it. Oh Lord, help us to be as much like you as we possibly can, doing your work for your kingdom right where we are, so that more and more folk will know about Father God's love, about the chance to come home, and about that outrageous party that Father God's going to throw when we get there. Oh Lord, we wait for that moment. We wait for that moment when the kingdom comes. We know we can't make it all by ourselves. We need you and we need each other. Oh Lord, it's for that kingdom we pray every time we join our voices together in the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Could we take a moment to listen to God in silence? God will speak if we will but listen. Amen.
Now, if you'll join me, a unison prayer for ourselves. Good Lord, whose gift to us is length of days, help us to make wise use of our minds and bodies as we pile up our years. You know our strength and how it changes. Give us our work according to the strength we have. Sift through our memories so that what evil we have seen and done grows dim in our mind's eye, but that what is good will shine clearly. Grant us new ties of friendship, new opportunities for service, joy in growth, the happiness of children and children's children, sympathy with those oppressed by the burdens of the world, clear thought and quiet faith. Teach us how to bear our infirmities. Keep us from narrow pride in outgrown ways, blind eyes that will not see the good of change, impatient judgment of the methods and experiments of others. Let your peace rule our hearts through all the trials of our lives. Take from us the fear of death and despair and undue attachment to life. Give us glad hearts so we can rest in you and come home to you with joy when at the last you call us. Amen. Please join me for the Gloria.
Seated, unless you're in the choir, of course. Amen.
Even a few more dollars, what you sound like? It's even better with a few more.
Beautifully sung, thank you. Would the children come, please? You did a cannonball. I didn't feel the splash. Oh, wow. We have cool hats. We have cool purple things. You got new shoes? Yeah, you got new. You got spike. Oh, wow. Yeah, you got new shoes? Now, does having new stuff have anything at all to do with being in school again?
Yes. It
lights
up.
Oh, he lights up. Wow. Yeah. See, that when I was your age, we didn't have shoes that light up.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. You know what? I saw someone my age with a pair on, and I thought, whoa. I could do that. So, how's school?
Good.
Yeah? Are you bored yet?
Yes.
Already?
Not me.
Not you? Okay, good. It's good that you're not bored. And for those of you that are already bored, okay, I feel for you. I know it's not easy when you're bored. I'm going to parent you. Just because you're bored doesn't mean you have permission to act out. Okay, that means that you do something that's something else that's interesting. Okay, I had that problem when I was in school because I found school terribly boring. And you know, The big people most often don't want to admit that school's that boring, but it can be. Okay. Now, today is a day that we recognize special people. Okay. Some of you have these special people in your lives. Some of you don't. Okay. I'm at a place in my life where I don't have any of these special people left in my life. And that's okay. These special people are grandparents. Okay? Now, I brought something to show you. Okay. Big people, did you get the response?
Yes.
From what is that to it's telephone. Okay. Now, how do you make it work? Olivia, are you going to add to the process? The two of you just okay. Now, you two agree on how to do this? Okay, so you still need the numbers, right? Okay, it's just different how you put the numbers in. Okay. So there's no keys, there's no buttons.
So wait, spin.
Okay. Have you seen that? Have you seen this before?
No.
No? We have one no and some yeses. Okay. All right. Well, now you have seen a phone, okay, that your grandparents used. This is what a telephone looked like when your grandparents were your age. And it hung on the wall. You couldn't put it in your pocket. No. It wouldn't make any difference. You'd still have to find a cable, the telephone cable, to plug it into, Olivia. You know what a do you know what a phone booth is? Huh? You have to pay to use it. See, I'm surprised that any of you know what a phone booth is, because they're so few and far between. You see them in movies? Yeah, okay. See, if Superman is around today, okay, he has a real problem, because when I was your age, Superman always went into a phone booth to change into his outfit. I have no idea where Superman changes into his outfit now.
At his Superman place.
The Superman place. Okay. Now, amongst the reasons that I want to talk to you about grandparents is this. Grandparents lived in a totally different world than we live in. And the only way that you will hear about that world is from them or from someone like them. Not everything in their world was bad. A lot of it was good. Some of the things that they did were very different from what the kinds of things that you do. Have you heard of a game called Annie Over the Roof? I heard it. What? Do it again.
Annie I over.
Okay. Okay, now, if you tried to play Annie Over the Roof on the playground now, you would get in trouble. Because Annie Over the Roof was played at recess, and someone would bring a little ball, probably about that size, okay, and they would throw it over the roof. And that was when the game of tag started. Whoever was on the other side and caught the ball would be it. And so they would chase until they caught everybody. Sounds like kind of fun. Okay. No? Wow. So what would be fun? Okay. But that was how grandparents had fun. There were other games. What I'm going to encourage you to do is this. If you have grandparents, next time you see them, tell them you love them. Okay? Because it helps them be who they are. Does it help you to be who you are when somebody tells you that they love you? Okay. And the other thing is, ask them to tell you about their world. Okay? In their world, they had to figure out how they were going to experience who Jesus is and how they were going to show who Jesus is. Yes. Oh, cool. Good. So, spend time with them. That's good. Yes, Connor. Oh, wow. Uh-oh. Okay, spend time with them. If you don't have somebody that's your grandparent. Okay. Hey, big people. We need volunteer grandparents. We have volunteers. Okay. And we've got. That's a neat trick. Okay, so please tell them that you love them. Please spend time with them. Okay, now, I'm going to ask for some help because guess what? Today is Noisy Offering Sunday. And did I get the buckets? Oh, there they are. So I'm going to want to ask for some help, okay? And share helping, okay? Now, there's one other thing that I need to do. Did all of you get your... Okay, we did Blessing of Backpacks, and everyone got a tag for their backpack. Did everyone get a tag? Okay, you did, Wally, you got one? Did you get one? Okay. All right, and Miss Lisa has treats. Now, in your bulletin you have an insert. Okay? And the insert is meant more for later than it is for now. The insert is an invitation to think about being a grandparent, being older. Okay. And choir. Oh, we need, thank you. Thank you. You're going to go help her? Mm-hmm. You can help her. Okay. Now, amongst the things that I often do and that I often did in the past is I said to people, you need to understand that you are a bridge to a world that no longer exists. You got them? Yeah, just set it up there. Whoops. Super. You want a treat? Okay. And we forget that. We forget that we are a bridge to a world that no longer exists. The young ones need to know about that world. They need to know little things, like Annie over the roof. Okay? I don't know if you've seen the video on the internet or not, but there was a really malicious grandma. And she had a desktop dial phone that was left over from the good old days. And she invited her two 16-year-old grandsons to figure it out. And they couldn't. It drove them nuts. She had to tell them it was a phone. Okay, now, the world has gone very weird. The children need a gift from you. And the gift is this. I'm going to gang up on you ladies most of all. Okay? What the girls need in particular is the model of your self-respect. Because this world is trying to steal it from them. It's true of men too. Okay, but especially the women. The next generations need the model from us of how we respect ourselves as well as each other. Amongst the conversations already this morning is how serious drug addiction is in the communities around here, how many suicides there's been. All right. Those of us who are over age 65, we're in a high-risk group for suicide. The young ones that are under 40, it used to be under 35, but now it's under 40, are also a high-risk group. The under 40s, guys, it's the men. It's the younger men that are ending it all. I have a clergy friend that I talk to on the phone. And she said, Mike, I can't do another overdose funeral. I've preached and taught for over two decades, warning people about the dangers. I can't preach another overdose funeral. I'm so angry. I'm so sad. And I said, I understand the anger. I said, and you've tried the anger and it didn't work all that well. Now try the sadness. Happened to be a woman pastor. She posted on her Facebook page. She thought that people wouldn't understand. Thankfully, she was wrong. They did. Okay. There are things that I'm probably going to fly by our church leadership, okay? One of them is something that my wife and I have already done. We keep at least one dose of Narcan in our house. We keep at least one dose of Narcan at Riverside, just in case. We don't have a dose here. Narcan can work if it's done within the first 15 or 20 minutes. It can take that long for emergency people to get on site. We don't have a dose here. It's very practical. It's easy to say, oh, that could never happen here. It can. Okay? And that's because people think, oh, well, you know what? That's fentanyl. Okay? I got news for you. You got fentanyl in your prescription drugs. I told you I was going to gang up on you. It's all right if you don't like it. I don't particularly like it either. It's a place to be prayerful. It's a place for each of us to decide what we're going to do. You think I should get out of the way, shut up, and let y'all take offering? Okay, thank you, Phyllis.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, the creature fearing low. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Oh God, you are so generous to us. Yes, there are things that don't work out in our lives, but there's so much that does. Thank you for all the good things. Out of your blessings to us, we bring our gifts. Take our gifts. Use them for the glory of your kingdom. Hear our prayer. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is 393. Would like to sing it three times.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall.
Thank you, beautifully sung. You may be seated. Amongst the things that happen up here is the top of this pulpit gets cluttered, and two specific prayer requests that were not included in the bulletin. Okay, those of you who are familiar with Joshua, our young Facebook friend, was airlifted to hospital this morning, and we're not sure the reason for it. Oh, we have yet another. Okay, thank you. And yes. Kim, say Donna's last name.
Swerden.
Okay. Donna is Crystal's mom. Kim's. How do you describe Crystal? Friend?
Yeah.
Okay. Crystal's friend, or that one. Okay, is having aneurysm surgery tomorrow, and keep Dottie and her mom in your prayers, okay? Dottie's mom has been in hospital, and it's been difficult for the doctors to sort things out. So keep mom in your prayers, keep Dottie and the family in your prayers. Those of you who have had to watch people that you love go through medical questions have some understanding of all of those situations. The scripture focus for this morning is Deuteronomy 4:9. Take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip through your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We often talk about the Ten Commandments. What I just read is also a commandment. We forget to do it. We're commanded to remember. And we're commanded to pass it along to the next generation. There are some things that are easily forgotten, and it seems that the more years we're around this earth, the more things that we forget altogether too easily. I was going to mention something specific, but I forgot what it was. I read somewhere, can't remember just where, that as we age, we don't really forget more. It's that we become more self-conscious about our forgetting. In our self-consciousness, we spend increasing amounts of time and energy doing things that support our memories, like making lists, which I no longer do because I write down the list, then I forget where I put it. Among the things that we forget is the more years we live, the more we change, and the more things and people around us change. We change physically, we change emotionally, we change spiritually. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worst. The very nature of being old has changed. It's not simply in terms of more of us living more years before we die. Many things that used to be considered part and parcel of aging have been shown to be medical conditions that can be treated. No, you're not getting old. You got a heart problem. We can fix that. How many times do we hear that now? More of us are more vigorous for more years of our lives than ever. Although centenarians are still comparatively rare, most of us can expect to live 20 or more years in retirement. Now more than ever before in this nation, there are more people who are grandparents, even great-grandparents, whose own parents are still living and comparatively active. It used to be, when you retired, you could plan on living 3 to 5 years. Now it's 25. I say to people, the question now is, what are you going to do with that 25 years of your life? It's almost as long as you worked. I'm old. I'm retired. I don't need a plan. Yes, you do. We're on the edge of what some people are calling the post-human era. It's not that human beings are becoming fewer or less human, although some would argue about that. It's that more human beings, including me, are living higher quality of lives for longer because of pharmacology and medical technology. Did I ever tell you that I take a dozen prescriptions every day? And that doesn't include the supplements. Yes, I'm crazy. Okay. That's part of what it means to be post-human. We can't make it on our own. We have to have the help. And without the help, guess what happens to us? We die. The changes have moved at an ever faster pace. As recently as 100 years ago, a person could live their entire life and not see any major social, cultural, or technological change. I've been around 73 years now and lived through the rise of television, the birth of the hydrogen bomb, the invention of the computer, the invention of the laser, nuclear-generated energy, and the internet. Even human growth has changed during my lifetime. When I was born, people reached puberty usually between the ages of 13 and 17. Now it's between the ages of 8 and 10. With all the changes going on in and around us, it's easy to forget about our personal value in the contemporary world, because all the changes make so much of what we know and the way we do things obsolete. There is something we desperately need to remember, and it is this: we are priceless in this world because of what is in our heads and what is in our hearts. Did you hear that? You are priceless because of what is in your head and what is in your heart. Specifically, it's our responsibility to God and to the future to pass along to the next generations what we have learned of God, Jesus, Jesus' gospel, and how to live that gospel in every moment. What has God done in and through you? The changes in our lives brought about by science and technology, by culture, politics, economics, and sometimes even religion, both good and bad, tend to overshadow a constant reality that we need to keep in focus. That reality is the presence of God in our lives this moment and every moment. God is somehow loving us and speaking to us this moment, this one. And it ain't just Mike up behind a pulpit. The reality is God is loving us and speaking to us, but we don't notice. Do we hear? Is our focus on something or someone else? It tends to be easy for us to notice what's going wrong, or at least not the way we like things to go, in and around our lives. Ladies, I'm going to pick on you. Why do you look in the mirror? Part of it's to see if there's a stain on the shirt, on the blouse. Is the hair in place? Oh, wait a minute. Obviously, I don't look in the mirror. Okay. It's harder for us to notice what's going right. When things go noticeably right, we typically jump to take all the credit for ourselves. Rarely, if ever, do we give God credit for making good things happen, for creating good in our lives. Rarely, if ever, do we either record the story or tell the story of what God has done in and through our lives. Clinton United Methodist Church doesn't do squat.
Not according to you.
Thank you. What does this church do? How does that make God a reality? Not just within the building, but beyond the walls. The Spirit was moving this morning, Lisa, in our conversation. Okay. What's your story? Have you ever faced up to both the good and the bad of your journey through life? You know, that's what most of what Holy Scripture is. It's the story of people facing up to their own stories, both good and bad, and noticing God loving them, and somehow in that moment, hearing God's voice and seeing God working. I used to do a workshop, okay? Roughly, it was called, What Am I Going to Do With My Life? And the way it started was, I had a roll of newsprint. I can't get them anymore, but I used to be able to get a roll of newsprint, okay? And I used to love it because we would do silhouettes, all right? And me and other people who consider ourselves fat, we're really surprised that we could fit ourselves on a roll of newsprint. And then we would divide it in half. On one side would be what was good about us, and on the other side would be what was bad about us. Okay. Sometimes what we would do is, as part of the workshop, we would ask the question, what do others say is good about us? What do others say is bad about us? Have you ever, ever at all noticed God loving you or heard God talking to you? If so, if anything, did you do about it? How did you notice God at work? How did you tell that it was God talking to you? You know, the founder of Methodism had been a priest for decades before he went to that prayer meeting that night. And he said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. And he didn't keep it to himself. It wasn't John Wesley is a good person. It was, God loves me, even me. What Egypt have you left behind? From what bondage have you been set free? Through what physical, emotional, or spiritual desert have you wandered through? To what promised land have you been heading? What cloud or other form of presence of God have you followed by day? What pillar of fire by night? Did you ever write it down? Did you ever tell your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids about it? What are you, what are we leaving our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? Most of us rarely consider what our legacy, what our gift to future generations will be. And even when we do, we tend to get wrapped up in what we are going to leave our children and their children when we die. Y'all won't agree with this, and it's fine. Okay? But the best advice I ever heard given to somebody was, don't leave your kids and your grandkids anything. It's their life. Let them live it. We focus on things, the stuff we have, that we want them to have, sometimes whether they want it or not. The legacy that we most need to leave behind is the one that few of us ever do leave behind. What our children and their children need most is not stuff, and it's not just another sermon about what to believe or why to believe that way. The legacy that our children and their children need most is for us to leave them. It has to do with the quality of our relationship with God and with each other. It's easy to mess up both. And sometimes the mess isn't our fault. However, the kids need to know how we handled it. The kids are going to see how we handled it anyway. And that teaches them more than most of our words will. We can talk a good game, but if we're not living a good game, what our children need most in this often seductive and outright evil world is the story of how we experience God's love, how we heard God's voice, of how God somehow guided you and me during our journey to the promised land. That includes the parts where we're stuck in a desert. How has God somehow guided you and me during our journey to the Promised Land? To put it as simply as possible, they need to see, they need to hear how God came to be foremost in our life and in our love. They need to hear how we learned to honestly love and respect ourselves . Notice where we're starting here. And then to honestly love and respect our neighbor. How do we treat people that obviously don't get what love is all about? That one's a real hard one. I get real impatient with them real fast. I get real angry. If there are going to be strong families tomorrow, if there are going to be strong communities tomorrow, if there is going to be a strong nation tomorrow, and if there's going to be any kind of church tomorrow, then, as the scripture says, you must be very careful not to forget things you have seen God do for you. Keep reminding yourselves and tell your children and your grandchildren as well. If there's going to be a church tomorrow, and I'm not talking about a building, if there's going to be a church tomorrow, then we must be very careful not to forget the things we've seen God do for us. This is not to put us on a guilt trip. I'm not out to punch anybody's ticket. What I'm saying is, I know God's there. Just look for God. You'll find them. Just look for God. You'll find them. And then don't keep it to yourself. It's not a commentary on how good we are. How often have I burdened you with stories of my successes? Once or twice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not many. Okay. How many times have I told you, this is a place where I saw God. This is a place I heard God. This is a place I want you to look. This is a place I want you to listen. Today, we need to keep reminding ourselves and to tell our children and our grandchildren as well. Do not forget, folks, because if we do, the whole story ends with us. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Our closing hymn is 525. If you're able, would you stand?
We are tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Sombre skies and howling tempests, lost in seed of rise and shine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist hand rolls away, we will understand it better by and by. Gathered more.
Amen. Thank you.
And now our benediction is going to be a reading from the hymnal on page 360. Let's see if I can get there. Sorry about that. Freedom in Christ. Gracious God, make me sensitive to all the evidences of your goodness. And may I, trusting in you, free myself of the terror of death and feel free to live intensely and happily the life that you have given me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just one quick more thing. Our craft show is going to be coming up early November, and we always have a booth for the church. So if you are handy in making anything, it does have to be made, but we could use items for our church booth. So
Amen.
Keep that in mind.
And amongst other things that this church isn't doing, okay, there is the up-and-coming vendor show, mm-hmm. Okay. There's community days in Clinton.
Yeah, the Fall Festival.
Okay, and, okay, I am looking for at least four people who want to see the film, The Jesus Revolution. Okay, so I've got one. If I have at least four, we'll make arrangements that we'll get together and we'll watch it together. Okay?